the ANews podcast. This is episode 104 for February 22nd, 2019. This podcast covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week on Anarchist News. It's designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism by email at podcast@anarchistnews.org. For more information and usually some good commentary, go to the non-sectarian anarchistnews.org. Updating Ravishal. The Green Scare book fair thread last week, along with the satirical report back, brought up the question of danger as people rejoiced over and mocked the danger policy, which I quote here. Quote, "This means that we expect all attendees and vendors to be responsible for their own actions and the potential repercussions of their actions. As hosts of this event, we refuse to assume the role of police or security to mediate conflicts that happen between people. We personally will not be used as a security apparatus to kick anyone out of this event, unless the conflict is with us directly. Everyone who attends is expected to use their own individual agency in directly dealing with and solving their problems with others. Therefore, this event is a dangerous space for anyone who disrespects the space and those occupying it. We accept that oppression based on identity exists in our present society, but we are not interested in perpetuating this paradigm. All voices here are weighed based on the merit of their experience, not the identity of the person who voices them." End quote. I took this policy statement in the manner that I expect it was intended, as a way to remind and or encourage people to embrace our own capacity, to reject representation, to be, in a word, brave anarchists. Others responded in the thread by teasing about other things that are dangerous, like, oh, not getting vaccinated or whatever. This raised enough of a point that it stuck in my head. Part of negotiating our world involves deciding where and how and when to risk danger. One of 1,000 ways that anarchists could be divided is by those who want to make the world safer in the name of anarchy, and those who want people to be better prepared for danger in the name of anarchy. Ideally, those don't have to be in conflict with each other, as again, we all need safety, and as anarchists, we've all chosen some level of danger. While policies are blunt force objects to address interpersonal dynamics, and so of limited usefulness, for example, what does, quote, disrespecting the space, unquote, actually mean? Isn't someone's identity part of their experience, and isn't that reflected in how people treat them, etc.? I certainly agree that one of the more valuable lessons that anarchists have for the rest of the world is that danger is important. But the corollary is that the scale of the danger is also important. The dangers of doing some kinds of drugs, of riding a motorcycle, of walking home alone in the middle of the night, of getting into bar fights, of having unprotected sex, of breaking up with someone you care about, these are all human-sized dangers. The isms, racism, sexism, colonialism, etc., civilization, all the big bads, on the other hand, are inhuman, immense dangers that we don't get to choose, although we do make choices around them. Anarchists could be defined as people who attempt to be human-sized dangerous in the face of world-sized dangers. I'll just end by proposing that it could be fruitful for anarchists to theorize more about danger. What does the modern version of the caped bomb thrower look like? New this week. We can block the wall, from Crime Think, of course. Someone has argued to me successfully that it makes sense for anarchists to speak to non-anarchists about what anarchists think, how we position topical events in relation to our ideas, and vice versa. And then I see how Crime Think and agency do it, and I start shaking my head again. Reaching a broader audience doesn't need to mean talking down to people or watering down our ideas. Here, this is in the first paragraph. Quote, "Make no mistake, a grassroots movement ended the shutdown. Trump gave in only when air traffic controllers and flight attendants stopped clocking in and airlines across the East Coast began to close down," unquote. A movement? Do you call anything that any group of people does a movement? Do we have a movement of breathing, a movement of sleeping, a movement of pooping? I'm much more of an activist than I ever realized.
The USA, Greece, and Italy, an Anti-Fascist History, from the Transmetropolitan Review. Those familiar with this publication will recognize the myth-making, overblown position-taking in this essay, which skips about in history like someone trying to catch a windblown hat. Fun to watch, then after a bit you want to help the person get their hat and move on. It's mostly a thumbnail of Greek history and anarchist activity, with Italy and US sprinkled in for relevance? I don't know. Bonanno gets called an anarchist author. Not sure why the essayist is suddenly coy, but perhaps quirky is its own reason. These essays raise the question, is history more important? Is there a different kind of relevance that this writing speaks to? How do we gauge writing if not by facts and or things we have direct experience with? And then there's the comment in the A-News thread that has the ring of authenticity to me at least, and ends with this. Quote, overall, this is a slightly historical, cringy advertisement for Ruviconus, which has become more focused anti-imperialist than anarchist, which is also why they are so proud of the anti-NATO shit. Unquote.
Anarchist zines and pamphlets published in January from Sprout Distro. Making up for skipping a month or two, this list includes a variety from an article by Cindy Milstein on organizing with grief, to international squatting, to issue 2 of Fire Ant, to Anathema, etc. The folks at the distro note a decrease in people making zines and encourage people to step it up instead of, quote, anarchy ever more absorbing both the patterns of communication informed by social media and its underlying logic, performance, a quest for likes, an accelerated pace of tweet, retweet, etc., unquote.
Vermont interview with American YPG volunteer concerning the revolution in Rojava from Manon. This announcement of, and link to, a 23-minute recorded interview of an American YPG volunteer features some of the most intense whiplash in the comment section, which is perhaps predictable. It comes from the Green Mountain Central Labor Council, AFL-CIO, of which a leftist anarchist is one of the heads. The interviewer is all about, quote, real democracy, unlike what we have here in the U.S., and the interviewee states as one of the 2 main reasons for him to go as it was a way for him to fight fascism. There are plenty of commenters who are rah-rah Rojava and plenty of other A-News natives who attempt to poke holes in that balloon. What would the two sides do without each other? Quote, the Green Mountain Central Labor Council of the AFL-CIO-CLC passed a resolution in February of 2018 declaring their unwavering solidarity with the YPG-YPJ and the democratic and equitable society that the revolution aims to achieve. As part of that resolution, the Central Labor Council pledged to provide 3 months of room and board to any returning American volunteers who served with the YPG-YPJ and who choose to come to Vermont. The CLC also committed to working with volunteers who availed themselves of this offer to find them union jobs, unquote. Huh.
Identity, art, immolation. Trust with a gun in your hand. From Anon by M. Shin Shon. This is poetic meanderings on art, wall as metaphor, communization discourse, seriously, identity, and so on. As with most blog posts, it could use some more spelling and punctuation checking, but it's whimsical enough. Quote, we organize in our tribes based in real lies which cannot be underestimated. Racism, sexism, transphobia, etc. have material consequences. You get hit with this law, or this baton, or with this noose, or this gas, based on what the imagined baggage is. Organizing on the basis of shared oppression, we both get hit by this bullet at around the same time, so let's get together and grab the gun. Makes sense in this context, but it doesn't change the fact that you are being defined by being shot, and by the historical legacy of being shot for a long-ass time. Our enemies shouldn't be able to pull our smiles with hooks, and we shouldn't appreciate it just because now we can see each other's teeth. Unquote.
Anarchist prisoner Sahail Arabi from Praman. The go-to site for information on the Russian anarchists being harassed and tortured and driven to suicide. This is a statement from an Iranian anarchist political prisoner for the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. Quote, silence against violence is betrayal. Rise up and shout. Shout, my mother does not deserve violence. My sister and I do not deserve misogyny. Unquote.
Lost on the lane to love? AAA's offering a unique space to talk. From freedomnews.org.uk. Well, first of all, AAA in anarchist space will always mean the Association of Anarchist Astronauts. Let that be forever noted. Other than that confusing misstep, this is a brief interview of the 2 hosts of an anarchist sex and relationship vlog who do their best to address questions of the complicated modern dating scene. While in the video clips provided, the hosts demonstrate some confusion about whether they're talking about themselves or the person who asked the question, So far, this seems to be good-natured and not excessively identity-ish, and perhaps informative. Maybe someone will ask a question about grooming versus flirting. I look forward to that. Quote, it's worrying when the right wing is better at addressing the issues of alienation and loneliness. Some single men then cluster into internet-based movements like involuntary celibacy and Proud Boys, etc. We think it is important for a left to have a response to that, a resource where men who are struggling to find a partner can go to ask and receive an empathetic answer, unquote. Of course, they move smoothly from that into anti-fascism as the umbrella term for all goodness. Whatever. Also, Emma was scolding the left for this back in the day. We've learned so much since then.
Lecce, Italy, a poster in solidarity with the anarchists in Turin. From Act for Freedom. This is the translated text of a poster about migrant prisons, state tactics, and six anarchists who have been imprisoned by acting against those two things. Quote, six anarchists have been arrested in Turin, charged with subversive association, for carrying out a struggle against CIEs, now CPRs, prisons for foreigners without papers. What is striking is not the charge, endlessly used against anarchists, but the aim of the struggle. On the one hand, it demonstrates that for the last 20 years, concentration camps for migrants have been important for the state and rulers of all sorts, not only as an instrument to deport the desperate ones who get entrapped in them back to their countries of origin, but also as a weapon to blackmail the totality of the immigrant mass in Italy. A warning to those who, for the moment, have regular documents, but could lose them at any time, and a form of blackmail to all those who, on the contrary, are forced to hide because they are hunted. A form of blackmail of a mainly economic nature, which serves to turn a mass of people into slaves, prepared to work under any conditions whatsoever in order to survive. A form of blackmail that also affects legal migrants and poor Italians, as they are also forced to accept miserable working conditions so as not to be excluded from the slavery of waged labor, and a perverse mechanism that nourishes hatred and racism towards those who are in the same condition rather than towards those who generate the latter, unquote. Is it just me, or does anarchist writing out of Italy seem unusually cogent? Maybe it's the translators.
Organizing in the Bad Old Days, The Harvest Collective Drive, 1998 to 1999, from Organizing Work. Organizing workers, reading manuals. Things are better now for organizers because there's more stuff to read. The author here feels bad because mistakes were made. Non-sectarian! I don't know, though. This and the Vermont Green Mountain piece in the same week might be pushing my capacity.
Audio and video from Embers, not having to choose between feminism and anarchy. A 58-minute interview with separatist group Feminist Action Hamilton. This brought back so many memories. Let me be clear. I support separatist groups because of a period of that can be very helpful for folks who tend to get talked over, pigeonholed, etc. And there is certainly a need for spaces to talk through basics for people who are just starting out. But it would be nice if there were places where the next steps of thinking about identity in general, and feminism in particular, could at least be introduced or mentioned. For example, should women be encouraged to do things that we don't want to do as a strengthening exercise? Are we prone to doing behind-the-scenes work because we don't like the pressure of leading? And does that mean that how leading works is a bigger problem than whether or not we play a certain role? How is anarchist feminism different from feminism? Or is it just part of a continuum of feminism, as feminist anarchism could be said to be a subset of anarchism? Anyway, the interview involves a lot about organizing, the Lock Street event, and various activist things. There are brushes up against what it means to be man or woman, like certainty versus humility, cooperation versus leading, and maybe it would have been more interesting to me if the conversation had interrogated those ideas more, but maybe not. Maybe the tendency that stereotypes have to disappear under bright light is part of what makes them strong.
Anarchy Radio, February 19th, 2019. An hour. Another episode of Jay-Z yelling at everyone to get off his yard, aka radical news for people who don't spend time online, I guess. Jay-Z mislabels a previous caller as a nihilist and attempts to throw shade, predictable for him, after an episode where he gets no calls. He also had a period of incoherency that sounded like he was falling asleep on air. I swear there were sentences with no noun. Maybe that was me. Oh, and Oliver Sacks wrote a good essay once. Oops, no he didn't. All that said, in the comment section, Nettle has a response in much better faith to this episode, so never mind me and my cranky muttering over here in the corner.
Empires Crumble 10, Anarchy and Art, with Margaret Killjoy, from Gods and Radicals, an hour. This is one of those things that will strike you differently based on whether you have some sympathy or are sick of a certain kind of personality sharing their lives. The comment thread reflects this perfectly. both responses, wholesome versus self-indulgent, are understandable, but may have less to do with this particular podcast and more to do with the rest of a listener's life. I personally have a soft spot for both Reed and Killjoy. I don't know anything about Allie, but that doesn't mean that I am especially excited to hear coming-of-age stories. Probably just me, though. I can barely stand my own coming-of-age story.
New At the CAF podcast from the Anarchist Communist Group. This is a 47-minute podcast with post-grad guest James from the Anarchist Research Group talking about work. The discussion starts out with a quotation from Kropotkin, and at that point became entertaining for me as I guessed whether and when Bob Black would be mentioned. 9 minutes and 40 seconds in, just saying. This is a totally respectable intro to anarchist anti-work arguments. I was pleasantly surprised. Pleasant. It did, unfortunately, call Black's theory a kind of gamification of work, which to me doesn't do justice to the difference between games and play, or perhaps just ignores what gamification is in today's culture, i.e. a veneer of mechanics over standard goals. Regardless, this is the kind of thing that would be fun to discuss in an anarchist study group, for example.
Anarchy Bang, Episode 7, Occupy, 2 hours. This episode was different because there were three hosts, and most of the conversation was them talking about their experiences, or lack thereof, with Occupy. It was fun, but either most listeners weren't alive when Occupy was happening, or they didn't know what to say about it. Zachev continues to call in and be oddly on point, which is disconcerting, and that's funny.
Topic of the week, crisis. Crisis is the flavor of the week for politicians and the news media. Opioids, borders, student loans, Venezuelan elections, to name just a few recent ones. Calling something a crisis does a lot of things. It mobilizes people towards a goal, opens up funding streams, allows policies to be implemented in the name of health, defense, and democracy, and gets people to click on links. It's a way to get people talking, and more importantly, to get some of them moving. Yet it's also hard to deny that the term crisis may have some substance beyond these cynical uses. For example, many people are killing themselves with opioids for reasons that are widespread and often systemic. And those who fail fall on the receiving end of many of these crises. Opioids, student loans, foreclosures, etc., are often the poor and exploited. It's also true that the mobilization called forth by official crises will almost inevitably hurt those same people with border walls for border crisis and new laws for drug crises. For this and a variety of other reasons, anarchists have often chosen to engage with crises. Yet we do not also risk something by playing with the same games that politicians do. How equipped are anarchists for dealing with problems conceptualized in the order of thousands of people, or even hundreds, or tens for that matter? How do we prevent our projects from falling into pure service provision, or evaporating as soon as the next big headline appears, if not even before? Do anarchists even have a role in providing relief to strangers? So here are my questions for you. Should anarchists intervene in crisis? Is that even a useful category for thinking about problems? What are better or worse ways you've seen this done? Ariel.
Hello, Aragorn. I like this question.
Oh, really?
There's a lot going on, and I think that the question asks some really, gives you some really important points to think about. One of them is creating context for the word crisis. Mm. It is overused to the point of almost not meaning anything, mm-hmm. right?
A margarine word, perhaps?
A margarine word. A silent little ode to Alejandro there. And secondly, the part of the question that talks about, that asks if anarchists are equipped to dealing with problems of scale. Hundreds of people, thousands of people, tens of thousands of people.
Actually, I think it was said tens of people.
Oh, I assumed that they were going up. Thousands of people, hundreds of people, hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands. Oh, I see. You're right. Whatever. Doesn't matter. My point stands. No, we are not. Which is But by design, right? Because the point in the world is that these are really big problems that have really big complex answers, and that's why you need politicians and large bodies to solve them for you.
Should anarchists intervene in a crisis?
Well, okay, the problem with the question is, what's a crisis? Whose crisis? What crisis?
I thought you just said that the person who did the topic of the week framed it well.
No, I said it was a good topic because they okay. put some things forward that I think we should be thinking about. And one of those things is, how are we defining crisis, or who are we letting define it for us?
The quintessential answer to this question is to refer to Hurricane Katrina and the Common Ground Project in New Orleans.
Yes.
Should anarchists intervene in a crisis?
Well, I believe history would, if we use that as our historical example, the answer is no.
Really?
Well, didn't that go terribly in the end?
Everything goes terribly in the end. Oh. Did it positively impact a whole bunch of people's life at the time?
From stories, yes. Anecdotally, that was the word I was using. Sorry. Anecdotally, my understanding is yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So if you want to base it on that criteria, okay, then yes. But that conversation we've had before, we talked about going to other places and trying to help other people fix or aid in their response to emergency things. Or I can't remember what the topic of the week was, but we talked about that, which is part of this conversation, but I don't think the entire question. And now you're looking at me to say more, okay?
What's the entire question?
Well,
why are you hiding things from us?
I think that we do have to be aware of who is defining the crisis for us. And I think that far too often we let news and politicians and social media decide what's a crisis and what isn't. Or not even what isn't, just, you know, this is the thing that we should be reacting to because it's the thing that everyone is talking about.
I mean, perhaps the author of the topic of the week did not just mean us to talk about natural disasters, but what are other things that you would describe as crises? Do you think I think actually the question should be asked in a different way.
Okay.
Anarchists will be involved in crisis.
It's true.
Like, name the crisis in the list today, and I promise you there are anarchists involved.
Right.
But it's not exactly the entire movement, for lack of better language. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly popular, necessarily. I'm fine. So what criteria would you use?
I do not have a criteria checklist that all crises need to meet, and I don't think that it should be. It should look like that.
So, again, you're being mysterious.
I don't have a catch-all answer. I have look around your world or the world next to your world or the world, you know, look in the world around you and something that is important to whatever you define as your community or... There are so many ways that this world leaves us broken and bereft and empty and no one is doing anything about it. And is it appropriate for a single anarchist or any group of anarchists to decide that they're going to try to do something about any one of those things? I think that's absolutely true. And I think many of those things do fall under whatever the category would be of a crisis. The breadth and width of the opioid epidemic is amazing to me. And is an anti-drug campaign an anarchist project? I don't know. But
okay, so if we refer to the different crises we could describe in the Bay Area,
mm-hmm.
probably opioid, mm-hmm. probably meth. Definitely homeless.
Yeah.
Generalized poverty, generalized precarity around housing.
Mm-hmm.
What are better or worse ways that that people have intervened.
Well, the homeless one, the housing precarity, is an interesting problem in the Bay Area because there are so many different things that you can point to as being the problem. So many different places you can focus on trying to help the problem.
Right? Housing is too expensive.
Right. Housing is too expensive. So you can focus on the people who suffer because housing is too expensive, which some people have done. Or you can focus on the fact that the tech world is taken over the Bay and created an environment where only particular kinds of people can afford to buy houses, and focus on, I don't know, volleying your hate at the tech world, which other people have done, right?
So you can hold up signs that say fuck Google.
Right, and or blocking buses or
you can even do both.
And then other people have chosen to harass the rich people who buy houses in San Francisco. I would argue most of those projects to lesser degrees of success.
Right.
But I also think it's important to, what's the phrase that I want? You know, various means of attack, but there's a phrase that I want. A varying array of tactics. Having options, being creative.
But there's, I mean, okay, I guess the question I'd ask the author of this, and mm-hmm. and that, you know, I'm sort of putting you in the role of having to answer, but I'm not sure that there is an answer to the question, you know, how do you actually advent change in these regards? I mean, this is almost the very definition of activism, right? Activism, yeah. By and large, sees its role as intervening in crisis.
Sure. I don't actually think that there is a way to advent change. Or if you want to break things down to the absolute most micro level possible, you know, if your project is to go out and hand out blankets to homeless people, okay, well, that's definitely you changing people, changing the moment of their circumstance and this moment in their lives. And is there value in that? Sure. Is that still all activism? Yeah. I think part of the important component about this is that these are all big things. They're big questions. Mm-hmm. They're big, hard problems.
Sure. Bigger than individual can solve.
They affect, you know, how many people are in the greater Bay Area, right?
About 8
millions
million.
Of people. Yeah. And are anarchists equipped to have fixes or answers? No. And if we were equipped, do we have the power or the means? No. And that's also part of the point in terms of the way that it is, so that we can turn to our mayor and our congressman, and which of course we're not going to do because we also know that that's not the answer. So this is why I don't have a plan of action. I don't have a checklist. I don't have.
Do all these problems get solved if we abolish capitalism?
No, of course not.
Really?
I mean, because nothing is that simple, number one. And number two, because, like, as much as I wish I were, I'm not a wizard and I can't see the future. So what is the fallout of the abolishment of capitalism? Many, many things. And will just by, God, like, if you wave a magic wand and capitalism doesn't exist anymore, do a bunch of these problems go away? Sure. But I don't know exactly what that means or what that looks like and what problems sure. replace it. And so, you know, conceptually, if you want to say making them go away, we can say sure. But what I don't want to say is that the abolishment of capitalism is just going to make everything better.
That's interesting. I guess
better requires work.
I guess the reason that I bring that up or bring it up in that language is that, you know, if you can't do little things, mm-hmm. at least talk about big things.
Sure.
Especially insofar as that they're dangerous.
Sure.
And, you know, individual property rights, I think if you abolish them tomorrow, it would a whole lot of movement.
Absolutely.
The ants would start moving.
Hell yeah.
And perhaps that's bigger or smaller than abolishing capitalism, but, you know.
Smaller, but pretty fundamental too.
You know, so really the question here is, what can anarchists do at all? Because for me, the thing that I think that anarchists can do is they can say dangerous things, mm-hmm. they can say unpopular things, mm-hmm. and they can say true things. Even though I wouldn't necessarily use that terminology, the capacity to say true things in a world of lies is something. So, for instance, I hear it said that we should abolish capitalism far more than I hear it said that we should abolish individual property rights.
Oh, sure.
That we should abolish corporate personhood.
Sure. I think that's just the larger and its component parts kind of way of looking at things. Like, my assumption is that when people talk about abolishing capitalism, they mean all the other things too, but they're just coming at it from the other side.
They definitely don't.
Really? Okay.
I mean, first of all, abolishing capitalism, you know, when a Maoist says it, does that mean the same thing as when an anarchist say it?
Right. My assumption is no.
Except both people are holding the same, you know, either side of the same banner.
Sure.
Do you want to wrap up your thoughts on the topic? Why,
now
why you liked it so much?
I liked that there were multiple provocative, both questions and kind of lines of thought mm-hmm. in the topic. I like that they gave me a phrase that I don't know what it means. Falling into pure service provision. I don't know what that means.
I think just providing services.
Okay. I went through my news feed and opened up tabs for stories that I wanted to read. And I am aware that sitting on the desktop of my computer right now are probably 3 of 8 stories that all have the word crisis in the headline. Hmm. And so then this is the question that I start to read. And,
sure.
And it reminds me that
this author has their finger on the pulse of what's happening right now.
It reminds me that to pay attention and to probably a little more hesitation and caution in just the way that I read the world. And it's a nice reminder to slow down.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Welcome to Redacted. This is Suds, and after visiting with my fellow hosts for the past several weeks, we're ready to share some exciting news for all of our haters out there. After enjoying conversations with the folks on the IRC and collecting feedback on anarchist news and elsewhere, we've decided to spin off Redacted into its own independent show. With Anarchy Bang and the A News podcast both broadcasting on Sundays, we'll be exploring a midweek show on Wednesdays and look forward to expanding into other days of the week as the project grows. Feedback is paramount for Plast, Squee, myself, and our collaborators. So as we begin, we'll be talking about the current world of anarchist content and what it is currently lacking. Sharing stories in an unscripted and approachable format is why we started this segment. And while I'm sad to be leaving the A News podcast, I'm excited for what the future has in store. Our priority is a decentralized project, focusing on the personal side of anarchism, one which can hopefully amplify the voices of others as we learn together through our shared experiences. In my family, we tell stories. That's how we remember who we are and honor those no longer with us. There's no TV, no music, just food and conversation. That's something I look forward to sharing with y'all as we move on. You'll be hearing from us later this week.
This podcast is the effort of many people. It has been sound edited by Lino Mabel. What's New was written by Jackie and read by Chisel and Dim. The editorial was written by Chisel. We thank Aragorn and Ariel for their help with the topic of the week. Contact us at podcast@anarchistnews.org. To learn more, anarchist and anti-political books, pamphlets, and other material are available at littleblackheart.com. for news by and or about anarchists and up-to-the-minute commentary. See you at anarchistnews.org and or the Anarchist News IRC chat room linked on ANews.